Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad about it, and we're giving God praise. Thank you for joining us. I'm so honored and grateful for you being a part of our worship experience on this great Lord's Day. I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody as we enter into the Christmas holidays. We pray that you have a wonderful holiday season, and we pray God's richest blessings upon you. I'm going to be ministering today from 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to talk about the power of God's forgiveness. This is so powerful that all of us have done something in our lives for which we need the forgiveness of God. And we got great news. God promises to forgive us. And we're going to talk about that today. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise and glory, and we thank you for your loving kindness and the multitude of your mercies to us. You've been a gracious God, and we thank you. We humble ourselves before you, Father, and declare how much we need you, Lord. We come praying for one another, praying and interceding for each other. We call out our brother, our sister's name, and ask you to step into the domain of whatever drama they're going through. Cancel out every plot and scheme of the enemy and work a miracle on their behalf. Whatever they stand in the need of, grant it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have your way in their midst. And Father, we're praying not only for whose hands we hold, but we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, people who join us through technology. And while we're praying for those, we also pray for these United States of America government officials, God. Change their hearts, change their minds, bring them to a place of some level of unity, God, in the name of Jesus. Rebuke the assignment of the devil, we pray. Save somebody that needs to be saved. Anoint us to be a mouthpiece for these next few moments, God. Let your truth flow from us. Let hearts be impacted and lives changed in the precious and mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Now we thank you, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, while you are standing, grab your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 9. 1 John 1, 9. Verse 9. Let me tell you something. If you don't know this verse, you should know it by heart. This is one of those verses you're going to need in your life. You got to know it and you got to understand it. 1 John 1, 9, the epistle of John, 1 John 1, 9, it says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to talk about the power of God's forgiveness. Amen. You can be seated. The epistle of John, the writer, the apostle John, writes this epistle to the early church. He's a seasoned believer writing to some less seasoned believers. And he wants to talk to them about something that's very important and very critical. He wants them to understand some truths. As a matter of fact, all through the Epistle of John, he spends time talking about lots of things, including things that they just need to know. There's some things they need to know. And he talks to them about it and teaches them things. And while he's doing all of that, he drops this very powerful truth in 1 John chapter 1. He talks about something that everybody in here needs. Forgiveness of God. Y'all got quiet on me, but I know, let me tell you something. Everybody in here done something, been somewhere, been with somebody, touched something, thought something, said something that they shouldn't have done. Oh, now y'all waking up. Now y'all getting it together. It doesn't matter what color your skin, it doesn't matter what community you live in, how much money you've earned, doesn't matter whether you're black or white, Doesn't matter whether you're brown or Asian or what, doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter whether you are light-skinned or dark-skinned. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter whether you came from Southeast or Mitchellville. Doesn't matter whether you got a weave or a wig. Whether everybody here... has done something in their life for which they need the forgiveness of God. And I'm not talking about stuff you did 10, 20 years ago. I'm talking about the stuff you did last week, last night, yesterday. And it's important for you to understand, to know and understand how we should respond when we fail, when we may mess up, when we miss the mark. It's important to know. It's very critical and absolutely important that you understand that nobody here is going to achieve perfection in this life. We're all going to... The whole process of becoming sanctified and becoming everything God wants us to become is a lifetime journey. As a matter of fact... When I think I've arrived, when I think I done got something straight, when I think I have got myself together, I start feeling good about myself. When my feet are walking the straight path, and when I'm not going places I ain't supposed to go, and I start patting myself on the back and holding my head up in the air as though I've arrived and I've accomplished, then the Holy Ghost say, "But I was looking at your hands. And I saw your hands were still touching some stuff you ain't had no business touching." And then when I folded my hands and put them behind my back and I wasn't touching nothing and my feet was walking in the straight path and I wasn't going where I wasn't supposed to go, I started feeling good about myself and I'm walking with my head stuck up and high, then the Holy Ghost said to me, "But I saw your eyes." I thought the 12 o'clock crowd would understand this. And the Holy Ghost said, it's not that you just glimpsed, but it's that second elongated look that kind of took you out. So now I got my eyes looking straight ahead. I got my feet straight, my hands not touching what I ain't supposed to touch, my eyes looking straight. Then the Holy Ghost said, "But I saw what you said. I heard what you said out your mouth." And now that I'm stuck cussing, then the next thing he said is, "I saw your thought life." I guess I'm trying to make a point to you. Is that the closer you get to God in your relationship with Him, the more raggedy and jacked up you realize you are. Do I have any witnesses anywhere in the camp? I come to the grips with the reality that it's a journey. And the question raises, then how can I ever get in right standing with God? How can I ever be in the right place with God if I keep messing up, if I keep failing, if I closer I get to God, the more I realize how jacked up. And I thought I should talk to y'all about this for just a few moments today, because the devil is tripping a lot of y'all up. He's tripping you up and he's messing you up. He's putting you on a guilt trip. He's making you feel guilty and shame because you don't dot every I, you don't cross every T. But there's a way God wants you to deal with your own failures. And I thought I should talk to you about it for a few moments today. Please don't misunderstand me to think that I'm trying to tell you that we're excusing sin. I'm not excusing sin. I'm not trying to get you to think that you can just go out and do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. I'm not trying to do that. But what I am saying, there is a process that God has for you if and when you sin. Matter of fact, hold up, back up for a moment. Take "if" out. Don't even put "if" in the equation. What should we do when we miss the mark, when we mess up? What does God want us to do? And I'm so grateful that God is such a powerful God. And And he loves us so much that he's made provisions for us to be taken care of. And I thought I should talk about it, especially as we come around this Christmas season. The whole reason we celebrate, the reason the Christmas is so powerful, y'all missed the point. Y'all think everything about Christmas is what's under the tree. It has nothing to do with what's under the tree. Christmas is significant because of what happened on a tree. Christmas is significant because Jesus was born of a virgin, and that qualifies him. See, let me back up. Let me back up for just a moment. Try to, because I'm running ahead of myself. I'm so excited about this, and I forgot about what I told y'all, that I got to back up and give you the straight scoop and tell you how this works. Is, see, when Jesus, the whole reason Jesus came is to deliver us from something that y'all have never experienced. You don't know nothing about this. Because back in the Old Testament days, when somebody sinned, they had to go down to the temple, and they had to find somebody in the hallway selling some doves and selling some goats or selling some lambs or whatever they were selling, and they would sacrifice. They'd have to kill that animal, shed some blood in order for their sins to be forgiven. That's what they had to do. And matter of fact, the priest, the high priest would go into the holies of holies once a year and carry and sacrifice something for the people for their sins to be forgiven. But when Jesus came, he put an end to all of that. He became the Lamb. He was the Lamb of God who died one time for everybody's sin. In other words, somebody should have jumped and shouted, because you know, oh, wait. Let me tell you why you ought to jump and shout, because you don't have to kill goats, no lambs, no doves. You don't have to go to no altar. You don't have to confess to no priest. You don't have to talk to no high priest. The thing that's wonderful about what Christ done for us when he came, was born and died and buried and rose again, he gave us direct access to God ourselves personally, and we don't have to sacrifice nothing no more. We don't have to kill no animals no more. He died one time for everybody's sin to be forgiven. Somebody ought to give God a shout of praise about that. He shed his blood and died, and he was born of a virgin, and so he met the qualifications. His blood was not like our blood, and so his death on the cross is significant because his shed blood washes all of our sins away for eternity. Hold up. Somebody going to shout on this point right here. This is important, because here's what he did. Here's what he did that's significant and important and powerful and amazing. When he died on the cross and shed his blood, all of our sins were in our future. Y'all missed a great spot to say amen. I wasn't born. I had not been born yet. So all of my sins that I was going to be, that I was going to do was, had not yet been done. And so his blood covered all of my sins for my future. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying today. That's why we got to give God praise. He's made provisions for your sins from yesterday and last year and 10 years ago and tomorrow and 10 years from now and 20 years from now. His blood covers all of our sins. Now the devil will beat you up. The devil will make you feel, this is important, the devil will make you feel unsaved. The devil will make you feel like you have to get saved all over again every time you do something you ain't supposed to do. And here you come crawling back to the altar. Every time you do something you ain't supposed to do, you come back to the altar. And that's what you're doing. And I want you to understand what the process is when you miss the mark. And you are going to miss the mark. Look at your neighbor and say, you going to miss the mark. Tell them on the other side, you going to miss it. Yeah, you're not going to dot every I and cross every T. You're going to mess up. What do you do when you mess up? You do what 1 John 1:9 says. And that's what I want to spend my time talking to you about today. And I want you to have clarity and understanding of what it is that we are called to do. And what it is that Christ wants us to do. What it is his desire for us in our relationship as we draw closer to God. What does he want us to do? He tells us right here in verse number 9. He says, hold up before I say that, because I feel tension in the room. Because some of y'all acting like y'all ain't never sinned and you ain't going to sin. And verse 8 and verse 10, surrounding verse 9, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you walk around acting like you ain't got nothing wrong with you and you ain't never made no mistakes and you ain't doing nothing wrong and you won't have no issues, everybody in here got something that captures your attention. Everybody in here, and and thank God, hopefully you, as every year goes by, you're getting better and you're maturing and you're getting that season. I'm proud of myself. I don't have a Twinkie issue no more. Somebody praise the Lord right there. I have let the Twinkie go. I don't buy no more Twinkies. I buy Zingers now. Pray for me. I buy Zingers. Y'all get the point I'm trying to make. And verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And God is not a liar. He doesn't lie. We have sinned. We do sin. So what do? What's the process? Where do we go? How do we walk? How do we live our lives? Here's what verse 9 says. Here it is right here. First of all, it says, verse 9, if we confess our sins. There's the first point right there. The first thing you got to do is acknowledge your sin. Somebody say, acknowledge your sin. Say that. Say it one more time. Acknowledge it. Look at your neighbor. Look them eyeball to eyeball and say, you need to acknowledge your stuff. Take ownership. See, the first step to being delivered is coming to grip with the truth. Yeah, stop perpetrating and pretending you ain't got no issue. Here's what the saints like to do. They like to say to God, and if I've done anything that is... Take the if out. And not only do you take the if out, be honest with God. Be transparent with God. He know what you did. You know what you did. You might as well confess and say, I lied, Lord. I cussed. Be honest with God. If we confess our sins, somebody say, acknowledge. Say that, acknowledge. Stand up, identify with it. Stop beating around the bush. Stop perpetrating like you don't have the issue. Confess your sins. If we confess our sins, that's the start. And then he says this, and I love this right here. I'm not going to preach before you long. Y'all know I preached my first sermon was 6 minutes. I ain't preached 6 minutes since that time. If we confess our sins, here's what it says. He is faithful and just. I got to stick a pin right there because it tells us about God's attitude toward us. God is faithful and just. He's extending his faithfulness and his justice toward us. He's faithful and just. Faithful and just for what? That word faithful means he will keep his word. He will do what he said he was going to do. He keeps his word. He's not like people. People will, excuse me, people will not keep their word. They tell you you're going to do something, then they don't do it. But the God we serve is faithful. He will do what he said he's going to do, and he's just. And the word just means he's a God of justice. He will stick with his divine laws. He will keep with his divine principles. He will do what he said he's going to do, and he will do in parameters. He will do it in the basis on the parameters of his divine law. He is faithful and just to do what? I like this right here. Somebody going to shout at this point right here. He is faithful and just to forgive. I wish I had a praying crowd with me right here. That's God's actions. He's going to forgive. That word forgive means to lay it aside. Let it alone. Send it away. It means to listen to this. Forgive means he clears your record. He expunges your record. He wipes the slate clean. You know, people, human beings don't know how to do that. Human beings will carry your fault and your sin and your mistake and your error and your offense for the rest of their life. And they will keep reminding you about what you did and how you did it. They call up the picture. They'll play the movie over in your mind over and over again. And what gets on my nerves is if they want God to forgive them, but they're not willing to forgive others. Y'all ain't got to say amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. Heaven saying amen to me. You know what you better be clear about? You need to understand this. If you want God to forgive you, you better learn how to forgive other people. And while I'm on that point, let me make this point clear that I want you to understand very clearly. Somebody say very clearly. Tell somebody very clearly. You are not God to hold anything against anybody. When somebody sins, it's God's laws that they are broken. It's God's command that they've broken. You don't have a heaven nor hell to put anybody into. Go on and preach, Pastor. I'm doing the best that I can. You don't have a right to hold somebody as though they owe you something. But yet some people carry the grudge and keep reminding you. But I'm so glad we serve a God that wipes your slate clean. Matter of fact, the text says he's such a faithful, wonderful, powerful God. He is faithful and just to cleanse, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody say that means everything. Everything. He cleaned you up. No matter what you did, no matter how recently you did it, no matter how long you did it, no matter how many times you did it, no matter who you did, what you did, when you did, what you did with, it doesn't matter what it is. Nothing is beyond the capacity of the blood of Jesus to cover and wash your slate clean. I feel a preacher coming on me right now. As I look back over my life and think about all the things I've done and said and been and all the mistakes I've made and all of the errors and all of my issues and all of my challenges and all of my failures, I'm glad I serve a God that has washed my slate clean. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, won't he do it for you? Yeah, give them a good high five. If they don't want to high five you, high five yourself and say, thank God he washed my slate clean. The devil tried to beat me up about it, but he washed it clean. The devil kept reminding me of it, but he washed my slate clean. The devil tried to make me feel bad about it, but he washed my slate clean. The devil tried to make me feel like I was on my way to hell, but he wiped my slate clean. Every time the devil brings up the picture of your past, remind him of the picture of his future. Yeah, I might have done that, but I'm going to heaven. I might have made that mistake then, but I'm going to heaven. You going to hell. You going to a burning fiery furnace. Remind him of his future. Hallelujah. Some of y'all getting on my nerves acting like you ain't got no stuff to give God praise for. Everybody in here done something for which they need forgiveness for. Everybody here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God we serve a Savior that wipes our slate clean. See, if you would be a Jehovah's Witness, you have to work your way into heaven. If you were a Muslim, there's certain things you have to wait for you to get yourself in. If you were a Catholic, you'd have to go to purgatory and work your sins off to get to heaven. That's why I'm not a Muslim. That's not why I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. That's why I'm not a Catholic. I serve a Jesus who's different from Muhammad and Buddha and Hindu and Confucius. He's different because Muhammad was lived, born, died, buried, period. Confucius was born, lived, died, buried, period. Hindu was born, lived, died, buried, period. But when we read about Jesus, born, lived, died, buried, comma. Got up out of the grave, comma. Ascended into heaven, comma. Sits at the right hand of God the Father, comma. It's coming back one glorious day for a church without a spot or a wrinkle, exclamation point. I'm giving God praise. He's alive. He's well. He has all power in his hands, and he has made it possible for me to go to heaven and be with him. He has wiped my slate clean. First John 1:9 is a verse that every believer who's walking with God needs to know. You don't have to keep coming to the altar getting saved every time you mess up. Every time you do something wrong. If we had to come to the altar and get re-saved every time we did something wrong, we might as well move in down here. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I know y'all think y'all ain't got no sin. I got issues. God's still working on me. If y'all, I don't try to perpetrate like I've arrived, like I'm dotting every I and cross every T. I'm just a sinner saved by grace under the blood of Jesus, and he's still working on me. If somebody tell you something about me, ask me and let me give you the straight scoop. I'm giving God the praise that I'm not as bad as I used to be. Hallelujah. I'm not yet what I'm gonna be. But oh, I thank God I'm not as jacked up as I used to be. Hallelujah. Hey! Now let me be clear. Let me say this again. I said it once. I want to say it again. Don't hear me saying that you have a license to go out and just do whatever you want to do. No. When you have a relationship with Jesus and you love him, you seek to please him. The scripture says a righteous man falls 7 times. But gets back up. If you ain't righteous, you fall 1 time and stay in the mud. You make a bed down. And no, we're not making a bed for sin. It's just that when we have a relationship with God, because we love him, when we mess up, we go to him and we confess our sins. And we stop acting like we don't have no problem. The biggest problem we got with a lot of people is you act like you ain't got no issues. You act like your breath don't stink. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but the power of God's forgiveness wipes our slate clean. And I want to challenge you today. Every believer needs to know this verse right here. You need to know by heart. You need to know it by heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us. Somebody say, won't he make you clean? Now, there's somebody here today that never accepted Jesus. You never got forgiven. This ain't for you. You have to be a believer. This is for believers. and you have to start off by making a commitment to Him. If that's you, just get on up, come down here right now and say, you know what, I need to get saved. I need to be honest with God. I need to establish a relationship with Him. I need to confess my sin. Just get up and make your way down here. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Just get up. We're going to shout, give God the glory. Nobody in here was born saved. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And God has made provision. You're here today. It's not an accident that you're here. It is by the power of God that God allowed you to be here right now. Make your way down here right this moment, right now, and say yes to Him. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Come on and say yes. Yes to the Lord. Or you backslid. You need to rededicate. Come right now. Come right now. You need to back. You backslid. You need to rededicate. Come. You already saved, but you need a church home. Come right now. Come, come, come this moment. Come this very, very moment. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. That's right. Come on. Encourage them, y'all. They're coming. That's right. Come right this moment. Don't put it off. Don't delay it. Don't reason in your mind. Don't let the devil lie to you. Come on and say, I need to get right with God. I need to meet the Lord Jesus. I need to rededicate. I need to join. Maybe you're already saved, but you need to join. Come right now. Let me give the Lord a shout for these souls here. Now here's what I do know. We're almost finished. We're almost done. That wasn't a long sermon, was it? I thought I was looking for somebody to say, keep on preaching, take your time. I just want to take a couple minutes because here's what I know. I know that the devil is talking to some people who should be down here and telling them, don't you go down there. Don't you walk down in front of all those people. Or telling them, wait till you get this together. Wait on your husband. Wait on your wife. Wait on your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Wait on this. Wait on that. Tomorrow is not promised. What you have is this moment. And it would be tragic for you to leave here and not be right with God and something happened to you. While the blood is running warm in your veins, come right this moment. I'm going to wait one more moment. I'm going to wait just one more moment. I'm going to ask them to sing that through one more time. And I'm going to invite, there's somebody else that needs to come. I don't know who you are, but I want to invite you to come. Or maybe you already saved, but you need a church home. Right now would be the right time to come. Maybe you're not sure. You need assurance. Now is the time to come. Maybe you need to rededicate yourself to God. Right now is the time to come. There's one, somebody else. Well, who am I waiting on? Come on, right this moment, right this instant. I see you. Come on. Amen. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. I see you, amen, young man, come. Amen, praise the Lord, praise Him. Bless the Lord, amen, amen, I see you. Come, 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 come on, come. Me now. Hallelujah. That devil tried to keep y'all in y'all seats. And I praise the Lord that you came. Amen. Somebody else, come on. I'll wait on you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? How you doing? God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, step right there. My heart is always filled when people respond to the gospel. This one young lady said, I live in Paris, France, and I watch you every Sunday, and I came here today to renew myself with God, and I'm so proud of you, sweetheart. Bless you. Bless you. If she can come all the way from Paris, you can come from wherever you're sitting to come and say, I want to get right with God. Who else am I waiting on? Can I wait on one or two more others? Look at your neighbor and say, is he waiting on you? Ask him. Is the Lord waiting on you to say yes to him? Talk to him. Ask him. Do you need to rededicate? Are you saved? Are you right with God? Do you have a church home? Ask them. Ask your neighbor. You're not right. Come on. Let's get it right with God. Don't put it off. Don't delay it. That's right. I see you. Come on. Amen. Bring them on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. So proud of y'all, all of you. The person behind you is a counselor. They're going to take you to a room, sit down, talk with you, share scriptures with you, find out why you came, give you clarity of directions. They're going to pray with you. And you gonna leave this building differently than the way you came in. All right? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every one that has come. I know you love them. I know you care. You know their names. You know their journeys. And I pray today that you break every chain. I pray that you forgive and cleanse. I pray, Father, that you plant their feet in your kingdom, that you fill them with your spirit. Have your will in their life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let your perfect will prevail in them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.